We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a Victory Tuesday, September 29th, 2020. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. And right now, we got Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. What's up, Matt? How are you?
I am doing well. I think I probably have almost as much sleep as you guys, so this should be interesting.
It's a wonderful feeling, isn't it? Just, you know what? Just run on fumes and get to that finish line, baby.
Your sleep's really overrated.
Yeah.
I believe that back, 20 years ago. Now, I could not overrate sleep at all. Sleep is very, very underrated.
You have already taken a look at the snap counts from last night. What were some of the quick takeaways you had after checking that out?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see Sammy Watkins leading the way with the receivers with 65 snaps. He played 87% of the snaps after just having the one limited practice on Saturday and coming off of the concussion and the neck injury. So it doesn't look like there's any ill effects there. I was really interested on the defensive side how much the Chiefs spent in three and four safety looks. Tedrick Thompson played 20 snaps, and when he was out there, he was almost always out there with Juan Thornhill, Ty Matthew, and Dan Sorensen. So, they and the Chiefs played about, I think it was 56 defensive snaps. So that's about a third of the game that they were playing out there with four safeties. Willie Gay got out there a little bit. He played 9 snaps. Mike Padel had 18 in his return. Those are the things that jumped out to me, at least, from last night. The fact that the offense had, I think, 76 snaps and defense only had to play 56 illustrates just how dominating that game was last night.
Why do you think, considering all the things you just listed out, especially in the secondary, when we watch the Chiefs play against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, he doesn't look like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But when he plays against everyone else, he looks like an MVP. How? Why?
I mean, I guess the first thing you have to jump to is just strategy, because I didn't think the Chiefs did a whole lot different than what they did against Lamar Jackson last year.
Right.
And Lamar Jackson even noted that it was pretty similar to what Tennessee Titans did to him in the playoffs last year. If you just contain Lamar Jackson, try to make sure that he doesn't get out of the pocket, you maintain your gap integrity so there's no opportunities for him to step up and escape the pocket down the field up the middle, and then you use speed and safeties out there as not only spies but people who can cover anybody that they need to at any particular moment. I mean, that seems to be the only way to slow down the Ravens. And, the Chiefs and the Titans have been, two of the teams that have deployed that the most efficiently. I think other teams have probably tried to do it differently, and it doesn't work. But I think the Chiefs also have the exact right personnel to pull that off, because they've got the ability to blitz from different directions. They've got a lot of good players at linebacker and safety that can blitz and throw off the rhythm. But most importantly, they've got, two guys up front in Chris Jones and Frank Clark that can help get that push and dominate the line of scrimmage. And if they do that, then it's a whole lot easier to fill those gaps, and it's a lot easier to keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket because you've got two guys up front that can create the pressure.
We have Matt Derrick on the line. And Matt, we talked about this in the 6 o'clock hour. This game, this score was not indicative of how the Chiefs dominated this game, because there were some mistakes to be made. They win by 14 points on the road against the Ravens, and they damn near double them up, or did they? They doubled them up in total yards, 517 to 228, but you feel like they left a lot out there. They had the drive at the end of the first half, 9 seconds left to go with the field goal, because it looked like Patrick Mahomes had tweaked something or something had happened, and he called for the field goal unit to come on, and Butker missed the the field goal after he'd already missed an extra point. And then in that opening drive of the second half, the Chiefs drove right down the field, and then Darwin Thompson with the bad fumble and turnover. And then the Chiefs could not convert on fourth and one from right around the 50-yard line. And then the Ravens got the ball back and drove and scored a touchdown in a short field. So there were mistakes out there. Let's start with that fumble by Darwin Thompson. Boy, once you get in that doghouse, you can ask LeSean McCoy. That ain't easy to get out of it. That's a tough one for a guy that's trying to find his way on the field. You cannot do that because, I mean, down the road, that could cost the Chiefs a game. And that was a bad time because they were driving right down the field and they were on their way to scoring points, at least a field goal, but more likely a touchdown the way they were moving the football. And so even though the Chiefs were dominating, it could have been even worse for the Ravens, but the Chiefs made some mistakes there.
Yeah, that fumble, absolutely right. I mean, they're up 27-10 at that point and driving, and it certainly looks like they're going into the end zone. And if that game goes 34-10, the Ravens are packing it in. I mean, there's absolutely no reason to continue. So this probably ends up a 20-point-plus game at the end, if not a whole lot more. That was a bad mistake. You know, he could have covered up a little bit more. But, yeah, give the Ravens credit. I mean, that was a big hit. I mean, they put the helmet on the ball, and sometimes that happens. So, you know, I didn't think he was terribly, ball security-wise. I didn't think he was bad. But, you know, when you're starting to get wrapped up like that, you do have to kind of put it away with both hands and just to protect against that kind of hit. And you're right. I mean, and also the kick return was a mistake. You know, there were some fundamental errors on that kick return. Chiefs, when they drop the ball on the goal line and inside the 5-yard line, it's because they're setting up for a return because they think they can stop it. And, you know, they had a couple of mistakes on that which they just did not get to contain. Outside of that, you take those two plays away, and, good grief, this could have been a 40-point game. I mean, the Chiefs did dominate. I mean, I'm not going to quibble with a couple of mistakes here and there because, every team's going to make some mistakes in a game. But, no, it was not a perfect game for the Chiefs, but it looked close to perfect.
I don't know about you guys, when I was watching Butker have his struggles, I was thinking to myself, that was why I would have been, and credit to Andy Reid because he was right and I was wrong, but I would have been nervous to kick the field goal that they did in overtime because not that I didn't know if he had this leg strength or not, but guys miss field goals. You know, guys miss extra points sometimes in this league. It's almost like whatever Andy Reid does, it works because when it mattered, Butker made the kicks. You know, like he picked the right time to miss his kicks. That's how well it's going for the Chiefs right now.
Yeah, and talking with Dave Tobe and Harrison Butker, quite a bit over the last couple of years, Butker's struggles seem to come when he's either over swinging or under swinging. I mean, it's literally he just needs to be in that groove because if he's not swinging his leg pure and consistently, then some leaks can sneak in there. And extra points seem like they have been some problems at times because I think maybe he just, lets up on the rhythm a little bit. It's a short, easy kick, and you think it's just you go out there and you just knock it through. But you know what? If you take it that way and you just try and go maybe just a little bit too slow and too smooth, then those misses can pop in there. And you know what? The 42-yarder may have been kind of the same thing. I mean, it's not 58, so you don't have to have the same kind of leg on it. Sometimes he tries to finesse those, and it's when he tries to finesse those kicks that he gets into trouble.
And when you look at, and we're talking with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com, when you look at the Chiefs and the ball distribution for the receivers, and you understand exactly how difficult this team is to stop, because you could try to take Kelce away, you could try to take Hill away, you could try to take Watkins away, or you could do what the Ravens did and take absolutely no one away. Kelce, 6 for 87, Harbin, 4 for 81, Tyreek, 5 for 77, Clyde, 5 for 70, Sammy Watkins, 7 for 62, and then, oh, by the way, a touchdown catch each for Anthony Sherman and Eric Fisher. I mean, what do you do? Like Charlie Weiss once said, what are you going to do? I mean, really, what are you going to do, Matt Derrick?
I don't know what to do. I mean, I think that maybe the only eligible receiver who didn't get a target last night was Byron Pringle. I think he had like three snaps.
Darwin Thompson had a couple of targets and didn't get a catch, and DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah, they had some targets. So everybody kind of got a chance last night. And you know what? That's what Patrick Mahomes loves to do. I mean, he's kind of a point guard out there. He loves to get everybody involved. And I don't think he's ever more happy than when he has a distribution like this, that everybody got to eat last night. Four different guys scored touchdowns. And the fact that they were able to get some guys in the end zone like Sherman and Fisher, I think that definitely added to the fun. But, yeah, I mean, this is what when the Chiefs' offense is rolling, I don't know how you stopped it, because you can take one of those away. Maybe you can. Maybe you can certainly double-team Kelce. You can double-team Hill. You can do something. But there's four other 500 guys that can beat you.
Yeah, it's a pick your poison offense, no doubt about that. And on the running back situation now, we talked about Thompson's fumble, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we're starting to see him get worked into the passing game now, aren't we? Like, we didn't see that as much in the first couple of weeks, but he was a much bigger part of the passing game this time around.
Yeah, and that kind of goes to me the bigger picture of the offense the last couple of weeks with some of the struggles maybe they had against the Chargers. I mean, I didn't think that outside of maybe a couple of plays here and there that the offensive game planning was that inspired the first couple of weeks of the season. And I wondered if it was just simply that they were kind of saving up a little bit and wanted to make sure they didn't show too much before they got to the Ravens. And they seemed to show almost everything last night. So that kind of eliminates a lot of the concerns that I think anybody should have about the offense from the first couple of weeks and maybe some of the inconsistencies. And you know what? Edwards-Helaire is a big part of that, because he wasn't involved that much in the passing game. And you suspected that some of that may have just been happenstance, but some of it was also simply not showing too much, because there's an opportunity to really save him up for this game and some moments down the road and not show too much about what he can do. Now that teams around the league are seeing it, they're going to play him differently. But what's the most surprising thing about Edwards-Helaire to me is, he only had 64 yards rushing, and yet it felt like he was getting yards after contact every single run. So I don't know if the Ravens were just hitting him at the line of scrimmage and he was just continuing to get yardage, but he's a bowling ball. He just does not go down.
We have Matt Derrick on the line, and Matt, I'd like to talk to you about the Chiefs cornerbacks. I retweeted Next Gen Stats, and the tweet read, after the game, the Chiefs' primary cornerbacks allowed a combined 10 receiving yards when targeted as the nearest defender. Rashad Fenton, 4 targets, 1 reception, no yards. Charvarius Ward, who had to step into action once L'Jarius Sneed got hurt, 2 targets, 1 reception, 6 yards. L'Jarius Sneed, 2 targets, 1 reception, 4 yards. L'Jarius Sneed almost came up with an interception, and that's the play he was hurt on. And then Charvarius Ward, had he not been wearing an oven mitt on his injured hand, he would have had an interception against Lamar Jackson. And so Bashaud Breeland will be coming back in one more game. But unfortunately, L'Jarius Sneed got hurt, so we don't know the severity of that injury, but the corners were up to the task last night, Matt Derrick.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's an asterisk to put for this, because going into week 3 or going to week 4 when you're not going to have Bashaud Breeland for one more game and you worry about not having maybe L'Jarius Sneed, that definitely makes some concerns. But you're right. I mean, the Chiefs play extremely well at the corner. I mean, they've gotten all of those guys that have produced, and there were plenty of reasons to have concerns. I think last night's results, I mean, I think there were a lot of reasons for it. One was certainly that Lamar Jackson was not sharp. I mean, and there was a two-play sequence there into the first half that illustrated it for me, because here they are, they're just trying to maybe run a couple of plays to maybe get the midfield for a Hail Mary, and Jackson just throws two passes that go nowhere, and his receivers did nothing to help him. Just stone hands. So I think that was part of it. But the other big part, and that's been consistent all season, is that the push up front has been fantastic. And last night they were certainly getting pressure with blitzes and bringing, you know, more than four guys, but they were also getting pressure with just bringing four. I mean, Chris Jones had a couple of plays when they were just bringing four that was just pure dominance. And, you know, not in that sack and fumble near the sideline, that was just four guys. And Chris Jones just got in there and wreaked havoc. When those guys up front play like that, it's a whole lot easier to play quarter.
Matt, I'm wondering, the players were very clear that they were motivated with a chip on their shoulder because they were not picked to win this game by most of the quote-unquote experts, right? They were underdogs. Everybody on the ESPN set picked the Ravens. And, I mean, we talked about this earlier. Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark, guys like that couldn't wait to tweet about it. Patrick Mahomes was counting to four going to the sideline. They obviously play very well with a chip on their shoulder, but they're not going to get this opportunity very often, right? Like, I can't imagine they'll be underdogs in any game the rest of the season unless something happens and they go on a cold stretch. How much better do you think they played because they were underdogs? And I don't know, I'm wondering, is it like, because they didn't look as motivated to start the Chargers game as they did for this one. Is that going to be a challenge for them going forward this year, that they're not going to get to play the card of nobody respects us like they did last night?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to have to be a little bit of self-motivation. And you know what? Football players are miraculous at their ability to find slights at any location. I mean, the fact that Patrick Mahomes still at this level can find slights and things to motivate him when everybody's pretty much conceding that he's best player in the NFL is amazing. But, you know, and I think you're right, because I even go back to that Chargers game, and a lot of the players even admitted that they kind of had trouble motivating for that game. You know, there were no fans out there, and they kind of had to fire each other up. And yeah, and I think I even saw the early spread for the Patriots, as Chiefs is a 7-point favorite. That's a pretty big spread for a game like New England, and as well as they are playing. And I think it's just indicative of the fact that, yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if the Chiefs are an underdog the rest of the season. So they are going to have to find some other ways to create some motivation. You hate to think that some of that will come with the team underperforming, and maybe they lose a couple of games, and that gives them their edge. But on the bright side, they got a couple of guys with Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark that are really, they're energy givers. I mean, these are the kind of guys that when they're focused and they're fired up, they get the guys going around them. And they're going to have to lean on those guys, yes, absolutely, to kind of give them that edge when they are going to be favorites the rest of the way.
You know, let's also give the Chargers some credit, because the Chargers' defense has given Patrick Mahomes problems almost every time they faced him. And so maybe it's not just, hey, were they motivated? Were they fired up? Daniel Jeremiah, who I respect just about as much as anyone, or more than anyone when it comes to football analysis, he said, the Chargers haven't won many games against KC, but they slowed them down. The key is a dominant four-man rush. If you don't have that, you have no shot to slow this group down. And the Chargers have that. And the Chargers have held Patrick Mahomes under 200 yards passing a couple of times, both times last year. And so, you know, I understand, you know, clearly they were highly motivated last night. But it's also sometimes about who you're playing,
sure,
what the matchups are. And the Chargers do deserve some credit for that, because they do have two excellent pass rushers that clearly give the Chiefs some problems. Something else I wanted to ask you about, Matt Derrick, is Warren Sharp sent this tweet out. KC went 10 of 12 on third down when it mattered. Converting third downs they needed, third and 14, got the 49-yard touchdown. Third and 10, got 12. Third and 9, got 18. Third and 9, got 15. Third and 6, got 17. Third and 5, got 15. Third and 5, got a touchdown. Third and 5, got 18. Third and 5, got 7. Third and 4, got 5. Good Lord. And he says, chunk gains in efficiency. And that's supposed, it's an elite defense. On third down, Matt Derrick, that's magic. That's Mahomes. That's play calling. That's all of it. I love it.
Yeah, I was looking at that at the end of the game last night, and I saw that 10 of 12, and I was like, good grief. I mean, that's a ridiculous conversion rate. And, yeah, I mean, you break it down that way, and you look, you know, it wasn't just all third and ones that they were converting. I mean, there were some big third downs. I mean, there were some long ones that they hit. And that goes to me that, and you mentioned the Chargers game, and I think that's interesting because, you know, the Chargers kind of put the blueprint out there about how you beat the Chiefs, at least, or at least try to be competitive with them, which is exactly that. I mean, you try and get pressure with, you know, four or five guys. You don't blitz too much because Mahomes just seems to eat up blitzes. And you try and take away the top of the field and just force him to, you know, take the little stuff in front of him and not hit the big chunk plays. And I thought that the Ravens might bend their strategy a bit from what they've done in the past against Mahomes in order to maybe adopt a little bit of that philosophy. And they didn't. I mean, they blitzed most of the night. They didn't seem to put a whole lot of focus on the back end to try and, you know, prevent the big plays. You see Mecole Hardman breaking loose. You had Tyreek Hill getting behind the defense. That's something that the 49ers, the Chargers, just didn't do, and teams that play tough with the Chiefs don't do. So I was kind of surprised that they didn't adopt some of those concepts. But, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you know, part of, I think, that third down conversion rate, a little credit goes a long way, but, I mean, there were some brilliant play designs and brilliant play calls from Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, and then just almost near-perfect execution all night long by everybody on the offense.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the way the Chiefs have slowed down the Ravens, because what you laid out there in terms of what the Chiefs did seems pretty simple, and it seems like, well, why in the world hasn't any other team in the NFL figured that out? Why aren't they all emulating exactly what the Chiefs do? Maybe it has a little bit to do also with having the personnel that can pull it off, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of, you know, why I think the Chargers are a team that's equipped to compete with the Chiefs, because they got two big-time pass rushers. They can get pressure with four consistently and be able to play that way. If you don't have that, if you can't get pressure with four, and I think you have to have at least two guys who can win one-on-one matchups consistently in order to kind of get that pressure on Mahomes, then that's not going to work. And most teams in the league don't have that, which, you know, obviously affects them right there. The Ravens honestly do. So, again, that was kind of why I was surprised that they didn't adopt that strategy. They kind of just went with their old concepts. And you know what? I mean, I think they're going to have to do something differently if and when they see the Chiefs again, and they probably will in January.
Matt, Derek, thank you so much for the time, sir. We appreciate it.
It's always a blast, guys. Take care.
That is Matt Derrick, and I want to remind everyone that Johnny's Tavern is the place to go if you want delicious pizza from my hometown discount club, because the Chiefs scored 34 points last night. Gentlemen, you can dine in at all the KC locations and also Lawrence and Topeka. Dine in and get 30% off a whole specialty pizzas at Johnny's Tavern because the Chiefs put 34 points up on the Baltimore Ravens last night. So Johnny's Tavern, whole specialty pizzas, 34% off. That sounds like a good deal and a good day to get some delicious pizza from Johnny's Tavern. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.